call the meeting of Town of Discovery Bay to order. And let's see, we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Join Director Steele in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Public comment. Is there anybody that would like to speak to the board tonight? Seeing none, we'll move to the consent calendar.
Move to approve.
Second.
Is there a second? Director Mayor?
Just the one question, for the record, and I presume I know the answer, but the neighbors, are the neighbors alerted to that variance of being 1 foot versus 5 foot?
You're talking about item five?
Yes.
My understanding is the county's collecting comments from a variety of interested parties, and that would include the neighbors.
Perfect, thank you.
I'll just note, the county also has a provision, and I don't remember whether it's 500 or 1,000 feet. Anytime you have an application within 500 or 1,000 feet of your property, you have to notify the property owner, so their neighbors will be getting notice of this application. I just don't remember what the distance is.
Perfect. Nice. Any other comments or questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion approved. Moving on to area agency reports, East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. Chief?
Good evening. You guys want to just take a look at this and ask you down? So I'll start off by saying Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Getting there. Just a couple notes I have for the board tonight. First of all, last month there were 34 calls in the town of Discovery Bay proper. The engine that covers Discovery Bay did roll out 108 times last month, and there was one motor vehicle accident with helicopter usage here in Discovery Bay. On top of that, I hope you noticed we had our engine in the parade this year. That was actually a big push for us that night. We were able to participate in two events at the same time. We were also at the City of Oakland tree lighting, so for us to be able to hit multiple public events where we're putting an engine out or setting up booths, that's a big push for us. So our message is starting to get out, and we're starting to do a better job of that. What I'm just passing over there is just an example of some of the PSAs we're going to be rolling out. That one is not for Discovery Bay. If you see, that's one we're going to be doing for Bethel Island really soon. It has to do with weeds and weed abatement. A lot of our PSAs that are going to be coming out in the next year are going to have a similar look and feel to that that we're going to start sending out to communities. And they'll deal with various topics such as weed abatement and smoke detectors and things of that sort. So I just wanted to bring that to the board so you can kind of get a look and see some early stuff we're doing with that. Also with the PSAs, we're working with a lot of local newspapers right now, so we hope for like January, February, that you'll start seeing them in some of the publications around here. So that was a big win for us dealing with a lot of the local news agencies, which I will say they were more than happy to work with us on that. As some of you know, we sent a unit down to the fires down in Southern California. They just returned yesterday after a 14-day stay. They were on the Creek Fire in Los Angeles for their first 4 days. And as that fire was starting to go out, they got redeployed to Ventura, where they spent the rest of their time between the cities of Ventura and Santa Barbara. I wish I could show you some of the pictures. I know we've all seen some of the stuff that has come out, but just it's jaw-dropping the amount of destruction and damage that has gone on down there. Those fires aren't quite out. They expect more winds, and they may be actually asking for more resources to go back down there as those winds pick up, and we will deal with that as it comes. I'd like to use that as a reminder that even though it's December, we still haven't had rain. So there's still a lot of dead vegetation out there, and we still got winds. So I still encourage everybody, please knock down your weeds if you still got them. Until we get a good chunk of rain, this is still a problem right now this time of year. Other than that, the strike team, they all came back healthy, happy. They were safe. They were in some pretty hairy situations, but they were able to come back and tell their stories, and it was a great experience for them. Speaking of go back to social media, you've seen a lot of our pictures. We're still really hitting our social media hard. It's been successful. We're still working with some other social media avenues that we're looking at this time. That's kind of hit a little bit of a stall point again. I've recontacted, and let's just say they were like, oh, we didn't know that you contacted us. That's what happens, you talk to different people sometimes. Also want to thank you for assisting with updating our info on your website in the last 2 days. I know it's forwarded that over, and you guys got that done within, it seemed like 10 minutes, so we appreciate that. Thank you very much. On that, about done with the notes. However, I would like to invite everybody to our next fire board meeting on January 8th. At that fire board meeting, the board and the district are going to recognize some of the local citizens and local businesses that help with the North Bay Fire Relief. So people who put together donations or make food runs out there, we're going to formally recognize them at that meeting. So I encourage everybody here and all the board to please attend that meeting. It should be very nice that a lot of these citizens are going to show up. And we've already had a pretty good RSVP showing for that too. On top of that, please come to our next finance meeting. It has been set for January 3rd. That got moved. Usually it's before that, but Chief Helmick has some interviews with some strategic planning agencies. So it's been moved to January 3rd at 3 p.m. at Station 53. And I invite everybody here to our next public outreach meeting, which will be January 22nd at 7 p.m. at Station 53. For the turnouts, looks pretty cool, right?
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And I hope everybody read about that. Their turnouts, just to give a brief update, turnouts only last about 10 years. But regardless of use, the NFPA and the manufacturers say once it's adopted its 10-year lifespan, they start degrading. So we were at that 10-year lifespan for a lot of our turnouts. The turnout spec we went to is very similar, but the black color actually saves us about $200 per set. And that's because it's made more, so it's a supply and demand issue. There's a lot of demand for the black turnout, so they're able to supply that. Whereas our previous set, there wasn't a lot of demand for it, so it cost a little bit more. So because we use a similar set to a lot of other Bay Area agencies, we're able to save money on it. So, and that's my report for tonight.
One question on the January 8th meeting, where's the location?
Oh, sorry about that. That will be at the City of Brentwood City Council Chambers.
Yeah, just wanted to comment that I certainly appreciate the extra effort of reaching out to the community, staying in front of them. I think it certainly will help them, maybe even publicize the finance meetings at a PSA.
Yeah, you know, we've been trying to do that as best as we can, but for the next year, we're really trying to even ramp that up even more. So I appreciate the feedback. Absolutely. We'll start doing that more.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Okay, moving on to item E, presentations, Pantages Properties.
Yes. I've invited Mark Armstrong to give us a presentation and update on where we're at concerning the Pantages project.
You have the
title. Can you put up his? Mm.
Mm-hmm. Let me get the.
We have it. Give us a moment.
Good evening. My name's Mark Armstrong. I'm a historian of the Pantages Discovery Bay project. We kind of call it Pantages Bay for short. It's Pantages was the previous owner. She died some years ago, and was a very, as I understood it, rather eccentric woman who lived out there on the property. So we thought giving it that name made some sense. The project was, if you recall, approved back in, a modified project was approved back in October of 2015. And it was like the original approvals, 105 waterfront lots, and 292 lots, balance of them we call it non-waterfront lots. Most of them, the ones on the, I guess it'd be the western end, are 6,000 square foot non-waterfront lots. The larger non-waterfront lots are over on the north side near the open space area. The waterfront lots are larger than you see typically in Discovery Bay. Deeper, we think they're, and they're going to be affected by and built up on next to a seawall as opposed to the riprap slopes. It's a, the seawall is something that we thought made more sense in this location, provided better, we have some soil stability issues that we need to make sure we address effectively, and the seawall can work more effectively in that regard. It's essentially a sheet pile wall. It'll have a material on the outside that, you're not looking at rusted steel the whole way around. It'll be attractive looking. We think it makes a lot of sense.
One quick question.
Sure.
What's the expected life of those lifts?
Indefinite.
Oh.
Yeah. It would be maintained by the operations district. They're more comfortable with the seawall than they were with the riprap approach. The wall's going to be, I forget exactly how many feet, but it's like 15, 20 feet down into the ground. It'll be a little bit of a slope down the bottom of the seawall for additional protection. The walls are built up to a height set in the development areas, up to a height such that we can withstand a sea level rise of 4.6 feet, I think it is, which is what the state of California has asked that any new project that is potentially affected by a potential sea level rise, it would be there. Is there going to be sea level rise? Who knows? I mean, many people are skeptical about that. We couldn't afford to be skeptical because you've got to build it. If it's not necessary, great. If it's not necessary, if it's necessary, if you didn't do it, I'm not quite sure what we did. So it made sense to accommodate that projection from the state. Our plan is currently going through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers permitting process. We started that early 2016, and we're still going at it. We think we're going to come through successfully. We haven't had any opposition to it so far, but the Corps has to go through a variety of processes with other agencies, and so they're going through that process now. The Corps permit is called a Section 10 permit from the River and Harbors Act. It's different than what you typically see with a development project. Most development projects that have seasonal wetlands or other resources like that, aquatic resources like that, go through a Section 404 of the Clean Water Act permit. But this project is one that is really dealing with excavations in Kellogg Creek and the creation of some new bays and coves, and that comes under this other permit process, which is a more efficient one for us to be involved in and be a part of. The focus of attention of the Corps is on the existing and new waterways and the dredging that goes around them. They don't get into so much the other elements of the project. Alternatives analysis that gets complicated, so we're pretty confident we can get through that core process. We just have to keep plugging along with it. The project will have some changes as a result of the core permit process. We know that already. The North Cove is going to be modified somewhat. The South Bay and Cove will stay essentially the same. We'll end up losing two or three of the non-waterfront larger lots at the north side of the property near the North Cove. On the lot you see there that is on the left side of the North Cove, that's a lot that has dock sharing with the one next door to it. We're not going to have that be a lot. The one that's furthest left, that's going to end up being what we call the yacht club. It'll be open and available with the clubhouse and deck in the back, and open to all the residents in the project. One reason for that is to try and get more of an engagement in the waterfront element of this project for those homeowners that are non-waterfront.
Is that the one indicated lot 55? Is that right?
Yeah, I can't read from here, but I think it's 155.
Okay.
What else? The larger community benefit elements of the project remain the same. It'll be a gated community, but there will be access through the next to the gate for pedestrians and bicyclists to come on site. There's a trail along in that open space on the left-hand side, northern side, northwest side of the property. That trail used to be a trail and emergency vehicle access, but as a result of the modifications we made in our second go-around with the county, we don't need the emergency vehicle access as part of the trail. So the trail's going to be smaller, going to be easier to maintain and build and maintain. Probably not going to end up being right next to the East Coast Conservation irrigation ditch that that you see over on that the north side of the property. It's going to be more in the middle, toward the middle of the property. Our seasonal wetlands that we show on this plan are probably going to be covered by off-site conservation entity. We'll create some, pay for the cost to create some wetlands someplace else that made more sense. The marine patrol substation up in the northeast corner there, still a part of the project, an important part of the project from our perspective. We see that as it's sheriff's office likes it a lot because it's close to fast water, and it's in the location. It's in the worst traffic jam. Boats going a bunch of different directions in the Delta, so they like the idea of being real close by. Likely going to Mike suggested when I met with him a couple months ago that we do something to make sure that the trail location there is one that is clearly off limits in after dusk hours. And so our concept would be that the HOA would be responsible for having a gate up there and maintain that gate. We've got the Marine Patrol substation that's not gonna have somebody in there all the time at night. There may be at times, but mostly it's gonna be a daytime operation. So having them there, I mean, the building there is good, but we want to make sure that people aren't along that northern edge of the property. We've had issues for many years with this property being used by a variety of folks in the summer months. We've had our gate crash down and people come through. A lot of boaters would swing on the rope swings around the trees over there. We finally took those trees down. We got tired of the liability exposure, the concerns that other residents had with those trees being utilized. We cut the branch off, or our caretaker would, or cut it down, the tree down a bit, and then we'd go up there and put another one up. So it just got to be too much trouble, and we just treated it as an emergency. One of the trees were, the tree that was at the last rope swing was bending over at a bad angle, and it just seemed like an emergency needed to get repaired and replaced, so we just took all those trees out. Our gate hasn't been crashed. That's it. Anybody has any questions?
Do you have an estimate of when the Corps will issue their final recommendation and their final approval?
6 months. And six from that date? It needs to be 8 months, 9 months.
Next summer.
And
do you have a time frame to turn dirt after that?
We need to go through the Corps process to get our plan to be exactly what they want, so that we then do improvement plans that the county or engineers do. I think that process, after the Corps permit is received, we're probably talking a year.
Okay.
And our goal is probably 2019 would be the estimate.
As far as construction traffic, I don't know if you planned this, but can I assume it's coming down Bixler and then Point of Timber?
Yes.
And that's it?
Barges potentially in some locations, Pantages Island, the island over on the left, the northeast corner, for example, there could be widening Kellogg Creek 300 feet in all these locations.
Thank you.
And that, yes, yeah. there needs to be some widening on that island and some work done around it. So we might have a barge coming out there to help deal with that circumstance. But otherwise, it would be quite a timber. We have the potential to need to bring in some dirt for fill. We're not clear on that yet. It kind of depends on what the, we're scooping out the bays and coves to get the dirt that'll raise the property above the floodplain. But can't be exactly sure that we have enough. There may be some hauling of dirt, but it'll be limited to, it was 90,000 cubic yards a year. It would not be a large amount by comparison to all the rest of the
thing. Mark, I may have missed this, but so the way you're building the wall in the back, is that allowing for, does that mean that there will actually be backyards behind these homes as opposed to just all decking like we have in most of the current area?
There'll be backyards in all the homes.
And so there can be landscaping, grass area, that type of thing, which we don't have much of in this side of town?
Correct.
Interesting. Great. Thank you.
One thing that we plan as part of this project is to be very careful about how we have landscaping and fencing, side yard fencing on the side. You don't want to be in a circumstance where you have the fencing locations, not extend too far out to the water with fences, for example, or with tall landscaping, because you then end up taking away the more expansive views that your neighbors have. And so the idea is to try and make those outdoor, front of the home is really going to be the back of the home here and the use area, and maintaining those nice views around throughout it without being in a position where each lot is closed off and you're just looking out away from your lot. That's the idea.
Any other questions?
Sorry. Well, we'll get there.
Okay. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks for
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Mark. Appreciate it. Next item on the agenda, water meter project report.
Yes, we're
right there.
Where'd he go?
I look there. There he is. Now he's up.
No bathroom stop for you.
Long drive. I had to make an entrance, I suppose. I had to use the restroom. Sorry. Okay. Thanks, Carol. Mm-hmm.
What did I put on? There you go.
Good evening, members of the board, members of the town. My name is Justin Chove. I'm with Ludorf and Scalmanini Consulting Engineers, and I'm here tonight to provide the final update of water meter installations. As of December, the last water meter was installed, so I'm happy to announce that the water meter installations are complete. So tonight, I'm just going to go through provide you with an overview of the construction, the installations for the project. This is a map that was generated a couple of weeks ago. Typically, when I do these updates, I like to show this map, which is just a visual to kind of show what the scope of the project was. Disregard the background image on this map. For some reason, it's not updated, so it's not reflecting the rest of the town, but essentially the project was focused on the central part of the town, which was more than half of the town of Discovery Bay. So the scope of the project here was all of the homes within this area, except for Sandy Bay Isle, which it wasn't Sandy Bay Isle wasn't part of the scope of this project and was being handled separately, and I believe as of this month, that neighborhood is also going to
all but one.
All but one. Okay.
Is installed.
So essentially, once that one is installed, the town will be fully metered on the residential side of things. What this map shows is a categories for how we're tracking the progress of construction. The work was broken into seven different phases, just broken by different shades of green here, for the progress of work, the sequencing of work throughout the project. And a green parcel indicates it's complete. So obviously there's a lot of green parcels shown on this map. We were also tracking properties that were vacant, meaning there's no service line, there's no meter that needs to be installed. There's 29 of those properties that we documented throughout the project. And then the salmon color would be the skip, and you can't really see it, but there is one skip property still remaining in scope, which is a property that had a home that was being constructed. So it wasn't installed at that time, it would be installed by the homeowner. Construction at a glance, this started in February, the project. We, in late 2016, in the fall of last year, prepared the bid documents, went to bid, awarded the project to JW Backo in construction, and authorized them to proceed with the installations in February. They did a little bit of work in January. There was a few installations conducted prior to February. The bulk of the project started in February. And at this point, it's 100% complete. There's 3,495 meters installed as of December. The bulk of those were, the project was essentially completed on November 15th, but there was one remaining house that required some more coordination from the district and the homeowner. So there's one property that was done in December. So technically December is when the project was complete. The total working days in that time period is, I'm estimating 175. I didn't count every single one, but there's approximately 200 working days available in that 10-month time period that the work was taking place, and we had roughly 25 weather off, no non-work days. So there's 175 days of in-the-field work taking place throughout the project. The way the project was completed was there was two passes of work. The first pass, we went through phases 1 through 7 to get the installations that were that were straightforward, easy enough to complete. And we made a decision early on to skip the concrete installation, skip the installations that would be a type 3, because it was a different mode of work for the contractor and would take several visitations to that site, whereas the installations which were in softscape or the drop-ins could all be done in one pass-through. So we went through the entire town, phases 1 through 7, addressing the types 1 and type 2s, and wherever there was any significant obstructions preventing basically a straightforward 1 or 2 installation, we would skip it and log it, saying that there needed to be specific site coordination with the homeowner, or it would take more time for the contractor to complete for one reason or another. So basically categorized skipped difficult installations and skipped type 3s, which we did in the second pass. So in the first pass, that was completed in August, and they were hammering out 40 installations a day. In the second pass, it was because of the nature of the installations, it was more like 10 per day, but they were still making really good progress. So as of today, the status is we are closing out the JW Backo contract. We're reviewing the final payment, truing up our numbers with the contractors for one final payment in terms of the quantities of material installed. And then from there, we are post-processing basically the database and the records that we have for delivery to the district, and then also working with the district to finalize the cost accounting of the entire project. In terms of the construction, when we set out on this project, there was some work done by the district early on to identify the different types of meter installations to give the contractors something to bid on, and the logical breakout was what they arrived at here, which was three different types of services. There was a drop-in meter, which means it had a box, it had a It had a meter setter. It had a spanner, and all they had to do was take out the spanner and drop in the meter. It was no digging, no plumbing would be required other than that. And then the 2 and 3 services is where if the box was too small, replumbing would be required. And the distinction was whether they were in softscape or in hardscape in the driveway. And so that made a lot of sense to break it out that way at the time. And of course, for 3,500 services, that's probably the best you can do. You know, you can't really do a site-by-site survey and kind of the amount of time and effort involved in there would be pretty cost prohibitive, really. So they did a good job in terms of breaking out these different types of services and defining what the contractor should be bidding on for that. There was also other bid items with the contractor scope, which was mobilization, notifications, stormwater protection, and data collection. So that was all bid items from the contractor. Throughout construction, there was other work items that needed to be completed in order to install the water meters. A water meter project inherently is going to have unknowns. So there was the bid item work, so in terms of the quantities that the contractor installed for the types of meters, the 1s, 2s, and 3s. That would be bid item work. And then there was extra work on a site-by-site basis based on obstructions that couldn't be characterized in that definition of the 1s, 2s, and 3s. So we'll get into some examples. And then there's also upgrades that occurred on the district facilities in order to make the meter installation, essentially the shutoff valve for each service, many weren't functioning. I'll get to that too, but essentially those shutoff valves need to be able to be operated. In order to install a meter, you're going to see if it works or not, and if it doesn't work, you're going to have to replace it. And this is infrastructure that requires replacement. So in terms of the breakdown for the meter contract bid work, we had 3,495 installations, and right here this table is a breakout of what was in the bid, and that's under the estimated column, and then what was installed. So determinations had to be made in the field as to if it was drop-in or not, if there had to be replumbing required. In some cases, the drop-ins didn't have the right span, or there may have been something else wrong with the box to where it actually did require to be replumbed. So we saw fewer of the drop-in meters. We estimated 500 initially, and we installed 305 of the drop-ins. Then the replumbing and softscape, a lot of those drop-ins turned into softscape type work. So there was more softscape work. There was 2,531 estimated, 2,645 installed. Replumbing and hardscape, some of those type 2s also became type 3s in terms of what was actually out there for hardscape and concrete. There was also special circumstance installations which didn't fit the category of 1, 2, or 3 and required an extra scope of work, and that would be involving where there were larger trees or mailboxes that involved having to relocate the service itself, which was more than what the 1, 2, or 3 scope entailed. We also documented 36 non-meter sites, essentially those are the vacant parcels, services that there were some properties that had multiple meters, and the homeowner decided they didn't want 2 meters, so we would abandon one. So there were some abandoned services that took place throughout the project, and there was 2 services that were installed prior to the project. So those were non-meter sites in terms of this project. In total, our count in terms of the total parcels counted, or the total potential services counted, was 3,531, which was, I couldn't believe it when it came out dead on with what was estimated prior, but I guess it makes sense because everything's based on APN and county records is where it all comes from. So the numbers make sense. So on a site-by-site basis, we had to assess items that were beyond the type 1, 2, or 3 definition of work and what was included in the contractor's bid. Or if it was a special circumstance where we really couldn't do it under any of those types and needed to be done under a different mobilization. So a lot of what the characterization of this is obstructions. We're talking about where there's demo and extra digging involved, and the lion's share of it would be trees. And there's also a fair amount of retaining walls and ornamental fences and mailboxes, which require a different level of demo and digging. And then there's also subsurface obstructions, which is, you know, if the tree maybe isn't sitting on top of the box, but is a couple of feet away, and there's roots encumbering the box that require power tools and other methods to get the box and get to the plumbing and repair the plumbing as a result of the damage that the roots cause to that. And then there's other conflicts in terms of utilities that might be, irrigation systems and whatnot that might be right in the vicinity of the dig and need to be careful digging or relocation required. So those would be examples of obstructions. And our records show that there's 16% of the properties had obstructions, but most of those were of a very minor nature. They weren't necessarily obstructions. It was probably, most of those are more like plumbing modifications. There was maybe a non-standard pipe size or material type, and it wasn't a significant issue. So that's what we'll move on to the infrastructure. So the infrastructure was the district's facilities, and there's throughout the project these facilities had to be repaired and upgraded because they weren't functioning. All of these shutoff valves, angle meter stops, had to be operated in order to install a meter. And some of these angle meter stops, some of these services are on manifolds, which means there's one service line coming off of the main, and then it splits off into a manifold that then goes and serves two homes. And sometimes the manifolds themselves were leaking or failed and needed to be replaced. So a lot of times when they, in the first pass, when they came up to a manifold that was on a type 3 in a concrete installation, they weren't going to install the other side of the manifold that was in softscape, because there was a chance that valve would fail, and then they would have to go and replace that manifold and then also be forced to address concrete at the same time. So a lot of this is just related to the stage of the work. But essentially, all of the angle meter stops and manifolds that were failed were fixed. And now today, every single valve we know for sure is operable. And the reasons for replacement was if it was, could have been leaking, the valve could have been seized, it could have been so corroded that you couldn't physically make an attachment to that valve. And 15% of the services approximately had needed a new manifold or valve. And that scope of work was more involved, as it required shutting down the main line, depressurizing the system, flushing. There was cleanup involved with that, so it was a much different scope of work than just installing the meter. And throughout that process of shutting down the main, I would also add that many of the district's valves were exercised, and there were some valves that were identified as not working through that process, and those valves had mainline valves also were fixed. So it was a good exercise in terms of knowing the status of infrastructure within the system and making necessary upgrades throughout the project. And I would say it was done as efficiently as it could be. When we originally recognized that there was angle meter stops are going to have to be replaced, we went and got quotes, and the quotes turned out to be about $1,700 to $2,000 per manifold. And we know that it's like asking somebody to quote something that they haven't seen and don't exactly know. You could just explain, well, this is basically what it's going to happen. This is the work that's going to be entailed. So they're going to cover themselves in terms of that quote. Well, when you monitor it, we have good contractors, we have good inspectors, we're monitoring that work on time and material, the average cost was less than $1,400 per manifold on the actual install basis for those valves. So on a time and material basis, with monitoring the work, it's more efficient than if you would have just went out and got bids and quotes to do that kind of work. So in summary, the town installed 3,495 meters in 175 working days. That's no small feat. I would like to point out that's in terms of, I'm looking at other meter projects, this is a lot relative to the time frame that it was completed in. And we're also pulling together all the final costs that will be presented to the board, not tonight, but essentially what I'm seeing is we're doing pretty good on that end relative to what other media projects have entailed as well. So at this point, the district's met their objective. The town's 100% metered, and it all occurred in 2017. And at this point, like I said, we're closing out the contractor's payments, finalizing and detailing the accounting, and we're going to get with the district on summarizing that, presenting that to the board. We didn't prepare that tonight purposefully because it was all preliminary. We didn't want to throw out preliminary numbers and waste our time kind of talking about that. So with that, thank you. And if there's any questions, we'd be happy to.
Any questions for Justin?
Well, I would like to say thank you. And congratulations on the job well done.
Well, yeah, thank you, and as well. I mean, I think it was a real team effort. I mean, there was a lot of work that went in from the staff, the inspectors, the contractor. So I really appreciate that. I'm glad we're here now.
Well, it's the first time I've seen you smile.
I'm very happy now.
Well, any other questions?
So just for the public's consumption, they should expect to receive their installation bill, if you will, probably in March.
No.
When?
Yeah. We're looking for the beginning of the fiscal year, so July.
Oh, July, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That's the estimate.
That's a plus or minus, right?
That's right. Okay. But that's what we're looking. So it's a new fiscal year, new bill, new everything. So.
Questions or comments? Justin, thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Good job. All right.
Monthly report from Veolia.
Thank you. Thank you.
Reports were submitted on time to the state. All wells are running so well. We produced over 48 million gallons of water to the public. You can see as we go into the winter months, our production goes down, which it only does, but we're well below our 2013 baseline. We had about a 42-43% reduction compared to 2013. Chemical use is down. All parameters were met in the wastewater. The plant is running very well. You can actually see on the November compared to October, our water is actually getting cleaner now that we have the filters online. We actually had numbers actually getting improving. So the filters are doing what they were put in to do. We're still working out a little bugs, but the quality of water coming out has been very good. No violations. All lift stations are running. We're still assessing all the work we did. Staff continues to work hard to keep work orders up and backlog to a minimum. They work very hard to keep that down. Our call outs are getting fewer and fewer in between. 6 or 7 years ago, we would have 7 to 10 or 12 a month. We're having about 2 or 3 a month now, so things are continuing to improve, and which reduces our overtime hours, which is good on my end. And the other thing I'll show you the work we did on the generator, the generator at the influent pump station. These few slides here show where we used to have a chemical feed at the influent pump station that was taken out during this project. And you can see the frame, the rebar that went in, the electrical, and then you can see the bottom screen there where the generators were delivered. And the generator is now in place with the influent pump station, which is going to be a huge asset for the town, because now if we have any power outage, the influent pump station where all the flow comes in will immediately have power. Previously, we operated to come in, hook up a standby generator, and it could be 1 to 2 hours before we had power there. So the only thing we're worrying on now is the airborne to give us a permit. So other than that, it's in good shape. Questions, concerns?
Yeah, just one. We had some pretty strong winds the other day, and I know last year we lost a panel or two out of the drying facilities. Everything held up well.
Everything held up this year so far. We found no incidents, no more.
Any questions?
Thank you very much. Good job, Bernie. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thank you.
Okay, we've got item G1, discussion regarding President Pro Tem.
Yes, this matter comes before the board to consider whether or not to continue with the board position of President Pro Tem. In essence, the duty of this position is to chair board meetings when the president and vice president are absent. If the position of President Pro Tem is eliminated, the meeting chair could be determined by the seniority of the remaining board members, and if seniority cannot be determined by the date of taking office, it would go to the director with highest vote count in their most recent election.
Move staff recommendation.
What was your recommendation? Be eliminated?
Yes.
Sorry, there's a motion on the table looking for a second.
Is there a second?
A second.
Motion has been seconded. Discussion.
You're suggesting that we just eliminate the president pro tem and go through a bunch of research every time if there was an occasion when the president and vice president wasn't here.
I don't recommend we go through a bunch of research.
It'd be pretty easy.
It'd be obvious who the person is of the remaining
based
left
on.
It'd be obvious who the person is of the remaining leftover individuals. Each year, you know who won the election by what number. And so every election, that number would come out. When we change the board, your general manager will know that if the two
members... So you just make a note of it at that point?
Correct. Absolutely.
Okay, no problem. I just didn't understand.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you. Item 2, discussion and possible action regarding board member assignment to East County Water Management Agency.
This matter comes before the board to specifically authorize the 2018 board president as the town's representative to the East County Water Management Association and designate the town's 2018 vice president as alternate. In effective January 1st, 2018, member Kevin Graves is serving as board president, and member Bill Mayer will serve as vice president.
Move staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Move and second. Discussion?
Yeah, just for clarity, this is a non-compensated position, correct?
That's correct.
Well, I'll leave that to the attorney here.
The way the staff report was presented and the way the policy reads, this is a designated representation at a committee and therefore is a stipend committee under the language of this policy. If you decide not to take that action, obviously you can choose to do whatever you'd like to do with that, with the discussion, but the way I think Mike and I read it, and we've talked about this ahead of time, this is a stipend position.
Okay.
According to your policy, if you take that action based on the staff report.
In other words, we're changing, it was my understanding in the past that this was a voluntary position, and so there was no compensation. Is that correct?
Well, there is the issue of the underlying document that was signed forming the East County Water Management Association, and in that document, the signatory said that we are a part of said that we shall, that the members of this shall have their governing board designate someone to sit on that board. And when we sign, so that almost becomes, we've agreed that we will designate someone to come to and be a member of that meeting, which makes that distinguishable from some of the other meetings where that doesn't take place, like the airport and fire and some of those.
I'll repeat the same, maybe repeat a little bit, but I concur that the language of the agreement to join the entity requires you to provide a member to attend, unlike LAFCO or Chamber or Rotary or whatever other group where they are, as we've had lengthy discussions where they are voluntary. This one is a mandatory, the way Mike and I read the underlying agreement, it's a mandatory attendance.
And I think that's why we have a backup assigned, because we are supposed to show up. Is it, how often does it occur?
The agreement actually requires you have an alternate.
Right. It says you may have a representative and an alternate. It must be an elected official. They meet four times a year on Thursdays at 11:30. Before I make my comments, anybody else have a comment?
I think there's a little confusion in the fact that I don't. Did you ever put in for a stipend while you were going?
Carol, did I ever put in?
You did.
We checked.
So a little confusion there. I think that's probably what is creating the confusion. Well, it hadn't been. But that doesn't mean it shouldn't be.
Well, setting that aside, the purpose of that agency is to look after the groundwater management of the basin here, you know, separating it out from Tracy and trying to, you know, work with Brentwood and Oakley and Diablo Water and Iron House to preserve our little sub-basin here. Again, maybe four times a year, 11:30, Mike's been attending the meetings as well. I would propose a change that we do this as a voluntary, not a voluntary assignment, but as an assignment as we bid among ourselves for other committee assignments, in the sense that we would have some continuity as this agency goes through the years of developing grants and working through with the state as to, you know, how to approach the groundwater management basin, is that we have a, rather than changing the horses every year, is that we have somebody that could perhaps stick with it for a few years and follow through on some of the grants and some of the projects to make sure that this basin gets split off from Tracy and we work well with the other participants in the agency.
When was this agency established?
It's in the staff report.
1997.
Yeah, this was not
March 20th.
This agency wasn't established just because of the current situation. We've been attending this agency as a district the whole time I've been on the board.
And I agree. Okay. We should be attending it.
Absolutely.
We should be active participants.
And with regards to your comment, I think it's beneficial to each member of the board to have an opportunity to meet and understand the people that we work with and support in our water supply. Rather than just have one person go and the rest of the board never have an opportunity to do that. I don't think that's a good idea.
But I don't think it's really any different than sitting on the wastewater or water committee, that we should rotate those every year. And I don't think that's healthy. I think it's good to have some continuity among the committees where someone can follow the project through beyond the four meetings that they're going to attend.
I think the board's been following this for the past year or two. I think if you're reading your minutes and getting the notes from these meetings, that everybody's following this activity. So that's the duty of the directors to do that. I think that the representation should still be the president and their alternate. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay, well, I disagree. I think that we should have it as a committee for an assignment not different than our committees that provides for continuity, that someone can be there, follow these issues through beyond the year that they're served, and continue to bring that information back to the board, whether it's one person every year or one person that can do it for a number of years.
We're having a discussion that is beyond what was brought to us.
Okay, I could offer a substitute motion. The substitute motion would be to have the East County Water Management Agency assignment be determined in the same manner as we determine the other assignments for the board members to serve on committees and such, that we do it by a bidding process as we've done in the past.
Just for clarification, I just want to make sure that we're, because we've changed names of these a couple of times. So when you use the term committees, we're not talking about standing committees here of Discovery Bay. You're talking about the regional agency that we attend.
Correct.
Okay.
Which are also voluntary, not mandatory appearances. There's a big difference between the two.
Right.
They don't fall in the same category.
You have a motion on the floor. You have a member indicating they'd like to amend the motion. Is the maker of the motion interested in amending his motion?
I was offering a substitute
motion. Substitute motion. You need a second then.
Is there a second to the substitute motion?
Second.
There's now a motion and a second on the substitute motion. Is there a discussion?
I think the your comments about having, you know, continuing knowledge by from a time frame instead of changing every year makes sense.
How does changing the process give us continuity? Anybody can take that job under the bidding process
every 2 years.
Correct.
So how worth the continuity?
You got 2 years instead of 1 year.
Or you could have 6 or 8 or as many years as you've gone, depending on how
we... So how would that affect, what happens this year? How would that affect, what's the effect of your motion to the board today, right now?
Today, we would have to establish who would be the volunteer or the person designated for that relationship and commitment going forward.
And who, and how is that going to be done? You said by a bidding process. Well, what's that bidding process?
That could be determined by the board. All I'm saying,
I can't vote on a motion where I don't understand the process.
That's fine. If the motion were to pass, then the board would have to consider how they are going to proceed with the appointment.
And so you're trying to categorize it into the current committees. Meld it in.
As I see it, what we would do is take, looking under the regional committee assignments, is take president, vice president out, and then have two directors put in there and put in names for everything else.
So when you've got a certain number, you're saying put it right in there. So we have a means of doing that.
So I can explain, because there is actually a process in place. You remember the process that you go through for the regional committees. I didn't understand the motion at first, so that's why I was looking over here as well. Now I get it. So you have that process that you go through where president picks first, vice president picks second, then the next senior member picks third until you get to the fifth. And then you start all over again, but the vice president picks first, and it just rotates all the way down. So everybody's getting a chance to pick one of the items. Remember the...
How do we determine the process of who goes first?
So it's in your policy.
What is it?
It's in your policy, and the policy is in your packet on...
Is it based on seniority? Is it based on position? What's it based on? I don't recall.
Let me pull it up, because I don't recall off the top of my head.
President, vice president, seniority, as I recall.
I think so.
I can tell you I was last.
Anybody can find it in their packet and help me out. I'd appreciate it.
I didn't know we were going to help.
There it is. Found it. Sorry. Regional representation is to be assigned based upon the position held by the board member and the seniority of each member of the board. Board members will have a preference of committee selections in the following order. President, vice president, we're going to have to change this language, and president pro tem, senior most member, followed by the least senior board member. In the event seniority cannot be determined due to the date of assumption of office, the board member with the highest vote count, the most recent election. This procedure shall be used to fill primary and alternate members to respective regional representation. Board members shall be assigned to the regional meetings for a two-year term.
Two-year term. So
that's the current policy.
Yeah.
So what he's proposing by way of his motion is that in addition to... Sorry, I have to scroll back. It's not page length, so it's taking me a second. In addition to Contra Costa County Aviation Advisory, Contra Costa County Code Enforcement, Contra Costa Special District Association, East Contra Costa Fire Protection, LAFCO Liaison, Police Service, School District Representative Liaison, and Regional Transportation Agencies, we would add East County Water Management Association, and that would be part of the... I don't know what you call it, the routine of picking rotation. And selecting, the rotation of selecting, that one would be included in there, is what I think your motion is what you were attempting to do.
I believe that was my motion, and let me clarify my motion that it would be for for 2018, since in 2019 we will be going through this process for every assignment again, which would be right after the
election. So initially it would be January, for a one-year term?
It would be January, that's correct.
Please don't put your hand up in front of me.
Don't talk when I'm talking. So this would allow, just for this one assignment, since a year from now, really at 11 months, or 12, 13 months from now, we will be going through this whole process again for all the assignments. Because it'll be the January after the election.
So in essence, it'll be the president in 2018 anyway, because he gets first choice.
And I don't know who would be the second choice.
Am I understanding correctly?
If you chose?
Yes.
If you chose?
Because that's the only thing we're going to decide. We're not deciding all the rest of them another year, if I'm hearing you correctly.
I believe the answer to your question is no. So for 2017 and 2018, the committees will have been selected. What his motion is including is that for 2018, because we did these in 2017, in 2018, the president, the current president, President Lee, will remain on this committee through 2018. In 2019, when we go through the committees again and the selection process, these will all change. That's what I believe you're saying.
You're putting yourself on the board for another, you're making a motion that keeps you there.
Correct.
For another year.
Correct.
Well, it's unanimous of you, Mr. Lee.
I look forward to seeing the committees Thursday at 11:30. So I have a motion and a second on the alternate motion.
You've got an original motion, so you're going to take action on the original motion when the discussion is done.
Original motion first or the alternate motion?
Unless the maker of the first motion is going to withdraw his motion and the second is willing to withdraw his second on that motion has to be taken.
That taken first, okay.
That's correct.
Okay, so we have the motion by Director Graves.
Staff recommendation, yeah, that's all I see.
For staff recommendation.
Right, what they brought to us tonight.
Okay. Any other discussion on that motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Nay.
Motion fails 3-2. So now we go to the...
You got it?
Yes.
Now we go to the substitute motion. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
3-2, the motion passes.
So let's clear this up.
Yeah, so if I understood your motion, it made this position, lack of a better term, voluntary, rather than a approved stipend position.
Correct.
His motion didn't include making it a stipend, so the board didn't authorize this to be a stipend, so that meeting will be attended for the next year by Member Lee, alternate being
Director Graves.
Director
Vice President Graves.
Yeah, Director Graves is the alternate and non-stipend.
Correct.
And it will continue for, it'll be the one committee on here that's for just this one last year.
Right.
You got all that?
I think so.
You shouldn't ask me whether I got it. You should ask her whether she got it, because she's going to type it up.
I just want to make sure we got it the same
I think
way.
I understand it. Does anybody disagree with what I just explained?
I do not disagree.
You get it, Kevin? Mention.
I'm sorry?
You understand what I explained? Okay.
Okay. Moving on to item I, the standing committee reports.
Yes, we have a Parks and Recreation committee meeting this afternoon. We talked about the green play. We have a workshop for the committee and staff probably in mid-January. There was a discussion of arranging a memorandum of understanding with the River Otter so we can get an informal situation versus the kind of handshake that we have with them now. We discussed the town community calendar for community center, and also we discussed the possibility of exploring some better lighting for the front of the community center. We're going to have to figure out costs and time and all that. Anyway, it's on the discussion portion right now.
Yep, it's a good meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other standing committees? Hearing none, moving on to
General Manager's report?
Yes, I just wanted to let you know that we've placed the order for the electronic signboard. Stewart Signs will be mailing out drawings in the next 1 to 2 weeks. When we receive them, then we go through the permitting process. In about 3 weeks after that, we should receive anchor bolts and a template for the base of the sign. And the sign should be shipping in about 5 to 6 weeks. So that's all in progress, so working on that. And then a reminder that the town offices will be closed starting Friday, December 22nd, and will not open again until Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018. We have provided the closure information on the November and December water bills, sent an email blast out, and posted it on our website face page. So.
And on the board.
Question?
Yes, sir.
On the sign, are we going to have the ability to review the design of that sign and make modifications if we see fit?
I can certainly think you can review the design and whether we'll be able to make modifications. I'm not sure. I'm sure we can make suggestions and take it from that point on.
I'd like to make sure that we understand what the whole sign is going to be made up of. We saw a sample. I don't know if that's going to be the final one, but let's take a look at it and see if we got a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Also, the positioning of that sign. We'd love to see a diagram on the position so that everybody's happy that it's positioned properly.
So something before the committee or before the entire board?
I would say take it back to the communications committee.
We will do that.
Anything else for your report?
Oh, sorry, that concludes my report.
Any correspondence is in the package in the future agenda item?
I'd like to just comment on the correspondence. I think that I personally, and maybe some other people on the board, seem to be getting multiple comments from Jim Madison with regards to his correspondence to the board. And I would just say that with our general manager's extensive experience in police work, that if he was invited by a committee to attend, that he would be allowed to do that and maybe share some of his extensive police experience, but that we really can't comment anymore on that. But I'm just, it's gaining some momentum, you might say. So I just think we should be aware of that. And I think Mike would be very good to be able to attend a meeting if he was asked to do so.
Sure. Be happy to do that.
I think there's some funding issues that have to come in.
I don't disagree.
You're right.
That's all.
Okay, any future agenda items?
It was very eloquently, politically correct stated.
Second and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned.
Okay,
we're now moving into the Public Financing Authority. We're going to skip the Pledge of Allegiance and roll call.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect all members are present.
Public comment, seeing none, moving on to the consent calendar. Motion.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
New business status report on the PFA.
I invite our finance director, Dina, to give you that report.
Hey, talk to you.
So every year I
have
to bring to you our bond. So this is what I'm doing. This is through June 30th of 2017. The first one was our first bond, which was the 2012 bond. Obviously, those projects have closed, and the finances have not changed, with the exception of the payments. So down below, you'll see some more payments listed there through June. And so far to date, we've paid $3,697,752.18. In April, we closed our second bond for the district. In 2017, and we borrowed quite a bit of money there to do our water main project and our filtration project. Through June, we haven't spent too much of it yet, but through today, we've spent quite a bit. But then again, this report only is through June, so you'll see just some of the remaining balance from the project number 7, which is the filtration project. We still have $2 million left. And the project 115, which is the water meter project, we expected to spend the most of that because we bought product in advance and we started with the project and kept going. So we really reimbursed ourselves when we received the bond. We haven't made any payments through June yet for the bond, but I'll show you those questions very soon.
I don't know how appropriate it is, but if we had not taken out that bond, how would we be sitting now knowing that we aren't going to reconcile until June or July?
For both projects, or for which project?
For the water main project.
We would have expended almost all of our reserves. Yeah.
Yeah. Reaffirmation.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So good job.
Doing a great job.
Thank you.
All
right. Thank you very much. Good job. Let's see. Staff report. Any board member comments? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn. Thank you all. Thank you.